And I'd like us to open our scripture today and be able to find the place that the Lord has for us today. So if you get your Bible there and get your Bible ready and have your heart open for what the Lord's going to speak to us about today. And we're going to take our Bibles this morning and find the first book of the Bible. Now, this is just the starting point now, so I'd like you to keep your Bible nearby you there and have it ready for a scripture that we're going to be turning to throughout the morning service here today. But Genesis chapter 14 is where we want to start out. Genesis chapter number 14, and we're going to, again, take the Bible and we're going to go through. We're going to just journey through the Bible with this particular subject that we started on last Sunday morning and we've moved into this morning as well, and to just kind of journey through the Bible and see what the Bible says about our stewardship. We started several Sundays ago. We started a series of messages, and really I thought of this as a short series. It's turned out to be a little bit longer as God's continued to do a work in my heart with it. It's turned out to be a little bit longer than what I thought it was going to be. But this the theme this year is the thought of always abounding from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. We're to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, the last few Sundays, we've been talking about always abounding in faithful stewardship. Faithful stewardship. And what is that all about? Well, a couple of weeks ago when we started this, we gave you a definition of what a steward was. And we've said that each Sunday morning as we've preached about this. We've said that that is a person who is to carefully watch over something that has been entrusted to them. So they are not an owner of it. Instead, they're just a manager of it. And so they are to be a wise steward of what has been entrusted to them. And all throughout Scripture, the Bible shows us the importance of that principle, that we are to be stewards. As a matter of fact, the main verse that we have been using for each of these messages is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, where the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards," all right, that's a person that is to be faithful in what has been entrusted to them, a steward. "Moreover, it is required in stewards," it says this, "that a man be found faithful." That a man be found faithful. So we're to be faithful in our stewardship. We said several Sunday mornings ago that we're to be faithful in the stewardship of our time. God's given us time. We're to be faithful as stewards of that. Then we talked about how that we're to be faithful as stewards of the talents that God has given to us. And I say, by the way, I say talents plural, because I know that at the moment of salvation, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I know that the Bible teaches us God gives to us at least one spiritual gift, but I believe God gives to us even more than one spiritual gift, so that we can use those talents and those gifts that God has given us for His honor and for His glory. So we're to be wise stewards of the talents that God has given to us, and then we're to be wise stewards of our testimony. Every one of us have a reputation, and we want our testimony, our reputation, our name to be a name that is one that speaks to the testimony that we have of being a Christian, if we know Christ as our Savior. And so let's be faithful stewards of the testimony that God has given to us. And then last week we started on the idea of being a faithful steward of the treasure that God has given to us. And we started into this idea of this financial stewardship that God wants us to be faithful in. Now, I said this last week, especially if there's somebody that maybe perhaps is not typically in our Sunday morning services. You're sitting here today, but you say, "I'm not typically in the Sunday morning services." I know that sometimes the subject of finances in a church can certainly be a very touchy subject. I said last Sunday that we talk about finances with other people and we plan our finances out, and we'll have times in which we're concentrated on it. But for some odd reason, when you bring it up in church, sometimes it can get a little bit touchy. And so, number one, we don't want it to be something that's touchy. We're just going to look into the Bible. We're going to see some Bible principles today. But I guess I'm saying to those that are not typically here, this is not a subject we deal with often. I know sometimes the phrase can be said, "Oh, well, down at that church, all they talk about is money." No, that's not the subject that's dealt with all the time, but we do want to see some Bible principles about the way that we're to be faithful with the treasure that God has given to us. So I said last Sunday morning, I said a bunch of opening introduction statements, but three of those statements that were very important that I want you to make sure that you remember, and I'll say those again this week. We said this last Sunday morning, that just as in every other area of your life as a Christian, if you know Christ as your Savior and you've received that gift, remember we talked about it in our choir special today, God has done all the work. You just have to receive the gift. So if you're a Christian and you've trusted in Christ and you've received that gift of salvation as a Christian, just like in every other area of our life, we should bring honor and glory to the Lord in our finances. Just like we would say, I want to bring honor and glory to the Lord in every other area of my life, then in our finances and our giving and with our possessions, we're to be a wise steward of it. We're to bring honor and glory to the Lord. So we said that as a statement last week. And then another statement we said was this: the greatest example we will ever find in the scripture as far as this idea of giving is God. He's the greatest example. He gave his only son, didn't he, for us. And he's given to us mercy and grace, and he's extended to us love and forgiveness. We have a God who is giving. And then number three, I made this statement, that God doesn't need our money. We never want to get this idea where we say, well, I'm giving because God needs it. God doesn't need our money, but he does expect us to be obedient. And then he also tells us, as we are obedient, he is willing and able to reward us and give us blessings because we are faithful with the stewardship of our money. Now, we used two words last Sunday. One of them was in Sunday morning, and then one of them was in the Sunday evening service. So we'll real quick review this. We said number one last week, we used the word ownership. The word ownership. And we gave you several biblical principles of ownership. Number one, God owns it all, doesn't he? And then number two, he expects us. Now, of course, we expounded on this last Sunday morning. But God owns it all. He expects us to be wise stewards of what he has given to us. And then he also says this: one day, there's going to be an accounting that's going to take place. There's going to be a reckoning that's going to take place. You're going to have to give an account of what you did with the treasure and the talents and the time that God has given to you. So specifically on this subject of treasure, the financial stewardship of what we have that God has blessed us with, we're going to have to give an account with that. And then here's the idea. Either God's going to be able to bless us and reward us, or we'll suffer loss for the way that we were not faithful in the stewardship of that treasure that God has given to us. And then the second word that we used in the evening service last Sunday, and we went on to the word giving. The word giving. So the first word was for our financial principles. The first word was ownership. Hey, may we all get to a place where we realize God owns it all. We just need to be faithful in the stewardship of it. And one day we're going to have to give an account for that. And if we've done it wisely, God says, I've got blessings, I've got rewards. But then the idea of giving. And I wanted to give you several Bible truths about this subject of giving. I gave one of those last Sunday night. And I'll review that real quickly, and then we'll get into the thought we want to share with you this morning. But right before I even get into that, let me say this, that every principle that we will see in the Bible about giving, can I say this? When we look at it in Scripture, it's going to be contrary to the world's philosophy of giving. Everything that the Bible says, or Bible truths and principles that are given, are going to be contrary to the world's philosophy of giving. A lot of times the world's philosophy is, I'm going to try to gain everything I can, and then I'm going to spend it for my pleasure. I want to try to gain, and I want to try to get everything I can while there's time to get it, and then I want to be able to spend it for my pleasure. Well, you're going to notice in the Bible, biblical principles of finances are completely contrary to what the world's philosophies will be with this subject of giving. So last Sunday night, we talked about some Bible principles for giving. Some Bible principles. So what would our giving look like? And we gave you several words last Sunday night. We said this: number one, we ought to give sacrificially. I'm not going to take the time to go and to expound on all those verses that we talked about last Sunday night, but we ought to give sacrificially. And then number two, we said we ought to give systematically. The Bible teaches us a systematic way that we are to give. We're to bring all of our tithes and offerings into the storehouse, and we're to do it on the first day of the week. See, we've got the Lord's Day, don't we? And he has given us this first day of the week where we can look at everything God has prospered and blessed us with this week, and we can bring it into the storehouse on the Lord's Day and give back to the Lord a portion of what he's given to us. So number one, we give sacrificially. Number two, we said we give systematically. Number two, we give willingly. We give willingly. God doesn't want you to give out of guilt, but he wants you to give from the heart. And that's the giving that he's going to be able to reward. So we give willingly. And then number four, we said last Sunday night, we need to give cheerfully. We need to give cheerfully. Not, again, not because we have to, or not with a bad attitude, or to be grumpy about it, but to say, God, I'm thankful with joy in my heart. I'm thankful that I get to give so that God's work can go on and that souls can be saved and things can be done for the cause of Jesus Christ. So we give cheerfully. And then we say we give liberally. We give liberally to the Lord. And the Bible gives us that principle. It says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So let's learn to give liberally as well. Now, the second thought that I wanted to give you about giving, and this will be touching on brand new today. Now, those things there we just reviewed from last Sunday, but these are some brand new thoughts that I want to give you. The second thing is I want to go over the Bible plan for giving. We gave you some Bible principles for giving, but then I want to give you the Bible plan for giving. So what does giving look like in the Bible? Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 16 here, if you would. I'm sorry, chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14 in our Bibles. And I want us to notice the Word of God is going to teach us this plan, this Bible plan for giving, and he's going to talk about three different ways in which we can give. Number one, in Genesis chapter number 14, the Bible talks about the tithe. Look with me, if you would, at Genesis 14 and verse number 20. It says, "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all." The idea here in Genesis chapter number 14 and verse number 20 is that tithing was a subject that the Bible deals with even before the law was given. Now, if you know how the Bible in the Old Testament is laid out, we get to the book of Exodus. God uses Moses and he gives the law to Moses. Well, before he even gave the law to the Old Testament saints, there is a story in the Bible about a man named Abraham who gave tithes of all. You say, what is he giving tithes of here? Well, the Bible tells us that God gives him a great victory in battle. When that battle came to an end, he gave tithes of all the spoils. There were spoils that were gained from that battle. And he says, I'm going to give a tithe of all, and I'm going to give it to the Lord. Now, that word tithe has the idea of one-tenth or 10%. And so God is giving to us the idea here that we are to give to him a tenth of everything that he has blessed us with. So just as God blessed Abraham here, even before the days of the law, before Moses received the law, we see clearly that tithing was taking place. And everything that God blessed him with, he said, I'm going to give a tithe of that, or a tenth, that's what that word tithe would mean, a tenth of that to God. Now, can I say there's something about tithing that is so important that will not be true of the other plans that God has for giving? So we're going to talk about three ways he wants us to give. The other two, this will not apply to, but this one it applies to. A tithe is something that God commands. This is something that God commands from those who are his children. So this should be an offering that we give to the Lord where we would say, I'm giving this not because of any other reason, but God's commanded it, so I'm going to be willing to obey. That's what we would say about tithing. We would say tithing is commanded, so therefore it requires obedience, doesn't it? We would also say it this way. This is something that is expected from God's people. God is saying, this is something I'm expecting from you. Now, it goes back to what we talked about last Sunday morning. If God owns it all, that means he gave everything to you anyway, right? So if you would take 100% of everything you have, you would say 100% of it God gave to me. And then that means that God is only asking and he's only expecting and commanding his people to only give 10% back to him of all that he has given to them and what he has blessed them with. Now let's go through scripture for a moment here. Would you look at Exodus chapter 23 with me? Exodus chapter 23, and notice what the Bible says down in verse number 16. Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 16, the Bible says this, "And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field," notice verse 17, "three times in a year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God." Now read on with me if you would. Let's skip down to verse number 19. "The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk." So he says, of the first fruits of your land. So everything of the first fruits that God has given to you are to bring and you are to give as a tithe. You're to bring that and give as a tithe to the Lord, or 10% of the first fruits of everything that he has blessed you with. Now, would you look at the book of Deuteronomy for a moment? Again, just journeying through the scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 14, and look with me if you would at verse number 22. So Deuteronomy chapter 14 and down to verse number 22. It says this, "Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year." Look at verse 23. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. The idea of giving to the Lord because we fear him. Not fearful as far as scared of him, but fearful as far as I am going to reverently obey him. See, he asked me to give, and it's expected of me as a child of God to be obedient to something that God has commanded me to do. Now, we're there in Deuteronomy. Would you look at chapter 26 for a moment? Deuteronomy chapter 26, and would you look down at verse number 2? Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse number 2, it says this, that thou shalt take of the first. Now, that's an important word. He brings up this idea of first fruits. Everything that you have first, you take off of that and give 10% to the Lord or give your tithe. Notice he says, and thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. Again, he's the owner of it all. He's given it all to you. And shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Now look down, if you would, at verse number in chapter 26, still down at verse number 10. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. And then verse number 11, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine hand, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Now, one thing I notice about that verse I just read is after you're willing to give to the Lord, then you get to sit back and you get to have joy and rejoice in what God has given to you. Man, I give to the Lord because he's commanded, it's expected of me, I reverently obey him, and I've given with joy, so then I can have joy when I use everything else in addition to what God has blessed me with, and I've given as the tithe for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Now, would you look quickly to Proverbs chapter 3? Proverbs chapter 3, and look with me in Proverbs chapter 3 at verse number 9 and verse number 10. So Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says this, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, we're going to come back to verse number 10 in just a moment, but I think while we're here, we'll read it. We'll come back to it later. But it says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. What does he say? He says, we're to take of the substance and the first fruit of all of our increase, and we're to honor the Lord with it. That means we're to give to him because he's blessed us with it. Now look at Malachi chapter 3, if you would. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament of our Bible. Malachi chapter 3, and look at verse number 8. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 8. Now we're going to notice something that we see here in Malachi that we have not noticed in any other passage of Scripture. There's something new that we learn here about the tithe. Look at Malachi 3 verse 8. Will a man rob God? Now, of course, their answer to that is, no, we wouldn't rob you, right? Well, notice what he says. Yet ye have robbed me, because ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? God, I need an answer here. Where do you suppose we robbed you? Notice the answer that's given, in tithes and offerings. Now watch, because they did this, we have not seen this in any other passage of Scripture till we got to Malachi. Look what happens because they've chosen to rob God. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now notice what he says in verse number 10, and we'll come back to this again in a moment. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. The storehouse is the church, right? We bring the tithes, or the tenth of God, all that God has given to us, into the storehouse, that there may be meat in thine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of blessing, or excuse me, the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, what is he saying? He's saying if we make a choice not to obey God's commandments, then that is considered robbing, right? But not only is it considered robbing, it's also considered disobedience to what God has commanded us to do. So if we choose to disobey, can I say this? And it applies to every area of our life where we will choose to disobey, we will not get away with it. We will not get away with disobedience. I think we would agree with that, right? And I don't think that applies just to our offerings and our tithes. I think it applies to every area of our life. If we're going to choose to disobey the Lord, we will not get away with it, which means this: God is going to get that which He asked from us one way or the other, isn't He? He's going to get it. And I believe that's what the Scripture is trying to teach us. You're going to be cursed with a curse. Now, do we want the blessings? Do we want the curses of God? I think we would all agree we want the blessings. So now let's real quickly journey just for a few verses through the New Testament when the Bible talks a little bit about tithing as well. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 21. So we finished out the Old Testament. Now we move into the New Testament of our Bible. And in Matthew 22 and verse number 21, it says this: They say unto him, I'm sorry, verse number 21. They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Now you might remember, if you were here last Sunday night, I told you that God has instituted three things that we have as a part of our world today. He's instituted the home. Now He has a means for financially the home to be provided for. And what is that? Well, the Bible tells us that a man is to be the provider of his home. The Bible clearly tells us that. So it's a Bible financial principle. A man is to provide for his home. The Bible says this in Scripture: if a man will not provide for his home, he's no better than an infidel. So a man is to provide for his home. That's why, that's how God financially has structured the setup of the home. Then for the government, how has He structured the financial setup of the government? Taxes. We don't like it, but we pay taxes, don't we? And we give taxes to our government. So we say that's how God has financially structured the government. Matter of fact, He says it right here, doesn't He? He says, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Can I say this? If you're failing to pay your taxes, you're not doing what God asked us to do, right? He says that's how that the government is to be structured and financially taken care of. But then for the church, we're to render unto God the things that are God's. So God says the way that I financially have structured the church is for God's people to be able to give of their tithes, their 10% to the Lord. Now look at Matthew 23, if you would. You were there in chapter 22. If you'd look right over to chapter 23. Matthew 23 and verse number 23, it says this: Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cummin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Now notice what he says that here. He's trying to say this. He's trying to say to the scribes and Pharisees, he's trying to say, you have no problem tithing, but you're having problem with other areas in your Christian life that are equally as important as tithing. And so he goes on at the end of this verse and says this. He says, these ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. He's saying, hey, you should tithe. He said, that's something you should do, and you're doing that part of what you should do, but don't leave the others undone. So the idea is God saying to the scribes and Pharisees, this tithing thing is something you should do. It's something that's expected of you. It's something that's been commanded by God. And then would you look at one last verse as far as this subject of tithing is concerned. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16 and look at verse number 1. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, all right, this is talking about offerings here. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Now watch this, how he tells us that we're to give to the Lord. Upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, right? We're in God's house on the Lord's day, on the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. That means that when Sunday's starting to roll around, we start to, in our minds, evaluate what has God financially prospered and blessed me with this week. I'm to take a tenth of that or a tithe of that, and I'm to bring it to the storehouse so that I can give for the work of the Lord. Now, can I say this? I was going to read another verse. I'm going to skip over that. I will give you the reference if you want to read it later. It's in Leviticus chapter 27 and verse number 30. The Bible says this in that verse, that all of our tithes are to be given based on something. They're to be based on something. You say, well, what would a tithe be based on? It's based on the fact that God has already given to us. So because He has given to us, we give back to Him. That's why sometimes during the offering time, you might hear the statement that we are giving back to God a portion of what He has given to us. See, He's already given it to us, so the basis of our tithe is that we give it back to Him. So what does that mean then? That means that God becomes the priority, right? With our finances, God has to be the priority. God, you've given it to me, So first and foremost, before I use this money to do anything else, God, I'm going to give it back to you. So the first plan that God has for giving is tithes. The second plan he has for giving is offerings. Would you take your Bible and go back to the beginning of the Old Testament, or the beginning of our Old Testament, and go back to Leviticus for a moment. Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1. And I want us to look at verse number 2. Leviticus chapter 1, and look down if you would at verse number 2. It says this: Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord. Now this is different than the tithe. This is an offering. So this is the second plan that God has for giving. He says, if you would bring of an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Now, there's a couple special words that we have to remember in verse number two and verse number three of Leviticus chapter 1. Because remember what we said about tithes? We said that is something that is commanded. But an offering is different. An offering is something that is encouraged. It's something that we would give voluntarily to the Lord. We would say, Lord, above and beyond even the 10%. You have now blessed me and you've given back to me 80, 90, I get to keep 90% of it, Lord. So because you're still allowing me, you're such a good God and you're still allowing me to keep 90% of it, I want to go above and beyond that and I want to give offerings to the Lord. Above and beyond even my tithe. Now again, this is something that's not required or not commanded, but it's encouraged. It's a voluntary gift we would give to the Lord. You say, how do you know that? Well, look at Leviticus chapter 2. Look, he says, speaking to the children of Israel and say to them, if any man. He's not saying it's something you have to do. He's saying, but it's something you would choose to do. And then if you read down in verse number 3, he talked about it being of his own voluntary will. Something he voluntarily is willing to give to the Lord. So we said of a tithe, that was 10%. Does the Bible give a percentage for an offering? No. There's no percentage that's given and there's no command that's given, but we're just giving above and beyond. You say, well, what would that be for? Well, that would be for perhaps above and beyond even what you give to the Lord, maybe a special project that's going on here at the church, maybe special ministries that we have that you would say, hey, I'd like to be a help to that ministry above and beyond even my tithes, and I'm going to give an offering so I could be a help to that. Or maybe just to give an offering as God leads you in some way. Maybe you'd like to say, well, I want to give of my tithe in one service, but I'm here for other services. So I have other services where I can give an offering and I can give above and beyond that so that you can be regular and faithful in your giving. And you say, I'd be able to give in every single service. Above even my tithes, I could be able to give of my offerings as well. Now, when we think about special projects, our church was just hit recently with some major special projects. We had the transmission on our van go out. And that was a very costly repair to fix the transmission of our van. It was something that we just had to deal with. We just got it back on the road just about a week and a half ago. We had an air conditioner go out in the Sunday school wing of our building. And our teachers were suffering for a few weeks with the heat back there, all but Miss Nancy. She was fine with the heat back there. But most of them were suffering with the temperatures back there, and we were able to get that done. But what a major expense it was to get that outside unit and get that inside unit there and the water coil that had to be put on it. All the expenses that go into running the ministry of a church. And you might hear things like that and you say, man, the church just had to give towards the air conditioner or towards the van. And God's speaking to my heart to give above and beyond even so that I can be a help. That's what offerings are all about. By the way, the word offering in the Old Testament of our Bible, we'll see it many times in the Old Testament of our Bible, that word offering had the idea of a time of worship or a time of devotion. So it would be a picture of somebody when they would give an offering to the Lord, they're not doing it because of duty, but they're doing it because of true love that they have for the Lord. And by the way, there's a statement connected with giving and love that you may have heard before. Someone once said it this way: you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You think about what Jesus did when he gave of himself for us. God says to give tithes. He says to give offerings. But then he also talks in Scripture about sacrificial giving as well. Sacrificial giving. Would you take your Bible really quickly and would you look to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 for a moment? 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. So we talk about tithes. We talk about offerings. But then how about sacrificial giving? Would you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 2 for a moment? There is a special way that giving is described here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and you've got to notice this. Look at verse number 2. Excuse me, verse number 2. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, I already touched on this a little bit last Sunday night, so I don't want to labor on it too long here this morning, but I said that there are some words in this verse that don't seem to go together. How can we ever connect trials with joy? Well, God says in His Word that we ought to be able to do that. If we're going through trials, we ought to at the same time be able to have joy. That's what's said about the churches in Macedonia here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. They're going through great trial, but yet they have joy. And then the Bible tells us they're in deep poverty, but yet they're giving abundantly. Now let me ask you, does that make sense? It doesn't often in our human minds make sense to say I'm going to have great joy when I'm going through the midst of a big trial. And by the way, the trial that they are going through here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you would do some study about it, it is a severe, severe trial they are going through. To the point where they didn't even have the food that they needed to provide food for their own selves. That's the kind of trial we're talking about here. But the Bible says that in the midst of that, they still have great joy. And then the Bible tells they're in deep poverty. But yet at the same time, in the midst of their deep poverty, the Bible tells us they were giving liberally. Then go on to verse number 3. Go on to verse number 3 and notice what it says. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. He says that they were willing to give not below their ability, not even according to their ability. They were willing to give above and beyond their ability. That's where we come to this idea of sacrificial giving. We're giving sacrificially to the Lord. See, I can give below my ability. I can say, well, that's easy. I have that. And I can even give in accordance to my ability. But you and I both know that we as Christians can give beyond our ability as well. We can give sacrificially. Now, this giving that is described here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 is God's grace at work in the hearts of those that are bringing these gifts to the point of which they are saying, I'm giving sacrificially. It's God's grace that is enabling them to do this. If we don't believe that, then look at what the Bible says in verse number 1. It says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God that is bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. You say, what is God trying to say here? God's trying to say the only reason that these people are able to give above and beyond their even their poverty and above and beyond their ability, they're giving sacrificially, the only reason they were able to do that is because God's grace is working in their lives. Can I say this? God's grace is powerful, isn't it? Because God's grace gives us strength to do things that we might not feel like we can do on our own. God's grace gives us the ability to give sacrificially, above and beyond even what we think we have the ability to do. Look with me, if you would, down at verse number 7. He describes this grace again. He said, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us. What is he saying to the church? Who's he writing this to? If we're in 2 Corinthians, he's writing to the church of Corinth, isn't he? Now, did you notice he commends some of the things that the church of Corinth does? Did you notice that in verse 7? He says good things about their, notice this, faith, their utterance, their knowledge, their diligence, and their love. He said, hey, these things are all things you're doing great. He said, but I'm going to encourage you to go beyond even that. And I'm going to encourage you to abound in this grace also. You say, what does he mean there when he says this grace? Well, the grace of giving. That God would be able to give you the grace to give above and beyond even what you feel like you have the means to do. That's sacrificial giving. Look at verse 8 if you would. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now there's a key there in verse number 8. We're coming to a close now. There's a key there in verse number 8. He says, I speak not by command. Now what did we say about the tithe? The tithe is a command, isn't it? We're to give because God's commanded it, therefore he expects it. He expects our obedience. Now, did we say the offering was a command? No. We're to voluntarily do it. Is sacrificial giving a command? No. Paul even says that. He says, I'm not telling you this because you're commanded to do it. But he says, I'm telling you because if you'll do it, you'll prove the sincerity of your love.
If you are willing to sacrificially give above and beyond, you'll be able to prove the sincerity of your love. Here's the idea with the three plans that we gave with giving this morning. The idea is this. We ought to get to a place in our Christian life where we are growing enough where we move to every one of these levels. I hope that makes sense to you this morning. That's what God is teaching us in His Word. Throughout Scripture, you need to get to a place in your Christian life. You know Christ. You've received that gift of salvation. You're on your way to heaven. You're going to grow in your Christian life enough where you say, I'm going to get to every level. I might start with tithing because God's commanded, therefore I want to obey Him. But then I'm going to get to a place where I'm going to say, I'm going to give above and beyond even that for the work of the Lord. Above and beyond even my 10%, maybe another 5 to 10%. And say, I'm going to give that to the Lord above and beyond that. And then I get to the place where I'm growing in my Christian life enough to say, look at all you're giving to me, God. I want to take what you've given to me and be a blessing to somebody else. And I'm even going to get to the point where I sacrificially give even beyond my ability to give. See, that's where faith comes in, right? Would you agree with me? That's where faith comes in. Now, the reason I brought up that word faith right before I close this message is because that is what we would preach about in our church when we talk about our faith promise missions giving. See, our faith promise missions giving is giving by faith, isn't it? Because we say, I've already given my tithe, I've already given my offering, but I'm now going to sacrificially give above and beyond even that to the work of missions so that missionaries can go around the world and in our own country as well and be able to preach the gospel. And sometimes when we give in that kind of a way, I think you and I both would have to be honest with ourselves and say, sometimes it doesn't always even make sense when we look at what we're giving and say, I don't know if it all lines up. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. But again, that's where faith comes in, right? And we are trusting God to be able to meet the needs so that we can give to the work of the Lord, so that the honor and the glory of the Lord can be done, so that souls can be saved, so that lives can be changed, so that we can be a lighthouse to this area. Can I say everything that is accomplished in the work of the Lord in a church like this is based upon, there's a lot that needs to be taken care of financially. I think you understand that. You personally want to maintain financial integrity in the bills that you get in your mailbox, don't you? And that's what the giving of God's people does. It enables the church to be able to maintain financial integrity to say, hey, when a bill comes in, God's people gave, and now we're going to be able to pay it. Now we're going to be able to keep the lights on. We're going to keep the air conditioning on and the heat on and the buses out running and the supplies for the church covered so that we can get the work of the Lord done so that people will be able to come here and hear the gospel. Giving, again, above and beyond, sacrificially, so that the work of the Lord can get done. Now that's God's Bible plan. God's Bible plan for giving. And I trust that maybe God's spoken to your heart in some way today. Maybe it's just the simple thought of saying, I want to get to that next step of growth, that next level of growth where I'm willing to obey the Lord in my giving to Him, allowing Him to speak to my heart and showing me what He'd have for me to give. I was having a conversation just yesterday with an individual, and they were talking about how much that God has spoken to their heart about giving to the work of missions. It's an encouragement to hear about that, so that we can be a blessing to missionaries above and beyond what we're doing here in our own church. And so may God speak to our hearts. May we always be a giving church. May we always have a heart for missions that way. May we always have a heart to take care of financially of the building here and the property here and those who are laboring in the word of the Lord so that we can see God do great things and many souls come to Christ because of the giving of God's people. Let's be always abounding in the faithful stewardship as far as our finances and the treasure that God has blessed us with. Father, I pray that you'd speak to the hearts of those that are here today.